Good morning. As you know, today we're looking at a pair of unsung heroes from the Bible, Priscilla and Aquila. Now, they're a married couple, and as a pair, I love them so much, and I think they're a great model for married Christian leadership. We flashed up the verse earlier from Isaiah 54, verse 2, about enlarging the place of your tent, or making your tent bigger, which is often referred to as a prophecy about salvation being for the many and not just for the God's chosen people anymore, but salvation for all nations. Now, Priscilla and Aquila are literal tent makers. That's what they did for a living. They made tents, but they also continue this idea of this prophecy, this idea of salvation being for all the nations, not just for the Jews. Now, we don't have a lot to go on. There's a few mentions of them in the New Testament. Firstly, there's the references in Acts that we've had read to us today. But there's also brief mentions in the letter to the Romans, the first letter to the Corinthians, and the second letter to Timothy. From these references, and knowing a little bit about when each document was written, we can infer a little bit about their journey over a 20-year period or so. So, the first thing we know is that Aquila is a native of Pontus, which is here. At some point, Aquila finds himself living in or around Rome and is married to Priscilla. Were they married before or did they get married there? We don't quite know. But whilst they're in Rome, they're married to each other. Around the year sort of 49-50 odd, Claudius expels Jews from Rome. Now, this is, we don't know if this is all Jews or whether it's Jews that were talking about Jesus, the Messiah, and therefore causing some disturbance to the status quo. The next thing we know is that they arrive in Corinth, not a huge time before Paul arrives there, and are working there as tent makers. If they weren't already Christians in Rome, then this is where they stepped into it and undoubtedly supported Paul in his ministry to both the Jews and the Gentiles. And they were with Paul in Corinth together for about 18 months or so, we reckon. Following that, they sailed with Paul for Ephesus, where eventually Paul moved on and they were left there. The letter written to the Corinthians from Ephesus sends greetings back to Corinth. And we know that there's a church that meets in their house where they are. What happens next is they seemingly return to Rome. In the letter to the Romans, there is a instruction to greet them and the church that meets in their house. And we also learn that they in some way risked their lives for Paul and for his ministry. Indeed, being back in Rome would be risky. Although Claudius, the emperor who exiled Jews, is now dead, Nero is now the emperor. In a few years' time, Nero will expel Christians as part of a major persecution. But even now, it's not likely to be a very hospitable environment for them. The next we hear about them is in the second letter to Timothy. Now, this is written after Nero begins his big persecution. Timothy, a young church leader in Ephesus, is asked to greet Priscilla and Aquila. So we presume that's where they now are. Maybe having been driven out of Rome, they return to Ephesus to encourage, support, and be part of the church there. So we've learned a little bit there about what the physical journey of Priscilla and Aquila was like. But what were they like as people, as a couple? Well, the first thing to note is that it's quite significant that Priscilla, as Aquila's wife, is even named at all. And the fact that her name often precedes Aquila's, it comes first when the two are described, is quite significant. Now, what's evident from that is this is not an unbalanced partnership. It's not Aquila who goes around with his wife. The two of them are a team, and quite often perhaps it's a Priscilla who seems to be taking the lead in ministry matters perhaps. But what are the characteristics that they show? I've got three of them that I want to share with you this morning. The first is that they were willing. They were willing to be led where God wanted them to be.
We saw the map covered in arrows. They were willing to be led where God wanted them to be. The second is they were selfless. They took Paul in Corinth. Paul would have been stirring up some trouble and some discontent, I'm sure, but they were willing to have him in their house and risking their very lives by travelling back to inhospitable places, opening up their home to host churches. They were a selfless couple. The third one is instructive. Now, we heard in our passage from Acts today about how the pair helped Apollos, a learned, well-spoken, passionate preacher, but who was limited in his understanding. He only knew the baptism of John. Now, what that means is that he certainly wouldn't have known about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, being baptized in the name of the Holy Spirit, being baptized in the Holy Spirit. These were things that he would not have known. And as such, he hasn't got all the information. Now, if you don't have all the information, you can be correct up to a point, but have very different conclusions. To illustrate this, during one of our recent youth sessions, I gave our young people 90% of some instructions to make a particular piece of origami, okay? And encouraged them to have a go at completing the remaining 10% and see what they could come up with. How similar is it to the official end of the instructions, okay? Let's actually have a look at how they got on with these two origami tasks.
Here's a recap of the first stages that all of our young people had access to. Let's see what they came up with.
A rocket.
I think it's a house.
I have a really complicated envelope.
Well, actually, I don't know what it is. I just got to this and I didn't have any ideas.
I have like a little mouse.
I mean, I don't know what you're going for, but I just saw this and I thought I'd make it into something quite fun. So I've got a flying house. I mean, it's got some wings and then it's got a house and it just flies.
We have got a little fox.
The plan was actually to make a jumping frog like this one. Here's another attempt, which began with these steps. And here is what our young people thought we were headed for.
I don't know. It's like a dog-style thing, but the face, it just went really badly because I don't know if it's a dog or a wolf or whatever, but the eyes, they just look a bit weird.
I have a bird.
It's a really weird bat. Just don't look into its eyes.
So I made a rabbit with ears, but I realised it wasn't meant to be like that.
Whereas, in fact, if they had all of the information, it would have made a happy walrus face like this one.
So as you can see from that fun little exercise, and as I'm sure any of the research scientists at home are telling you, that it's easy to draw the wrong conclusion if you have an incomplete set of data. Priscilla and Aquila meet Apollos in today's reading, who has an incomplete set of data. He doesn't know the full story, and therefore some of his conclusions are faulty. So how do Priscilla and Aquila, this instructive couple, deal with the situation? They could have challenged him publicly so that everyone knew what was right and what was wrong. They were influential leaders in the community. They could certainly have done that in the name of truth, let's say. But that is not the approach they took. They took Apollos to one side and adequately, or more accurately, explained the way of God to him. So much so that when he wanted to take the word of God elsewhere in southern Greece, that the disciples, the believers, the church family around him were wholly encouraging and supportive and helped him to do that. Priscilla and Aquila could have torn him down in that first moment, but instead they took him to one side and they built him up. They helped him to understand more. And I think the the ministry that came from the rest of Apollos' journey can be traced back to that approach by Priscilla and Aquila. Well, what does that mean for us? Well, I believe that those three qualities that Priscilla and Aquila showed, being willing, being selfless, and being instructive, are still ones that are very important for us to grab hold of today. The first one, being willing. Could it just be that God is calling you to something outside of your comfort zone, as he did to this pair of tent makers back in the account we've heard today? Incidentally, if that thing you feel called to is working with our young people, please do let me know. But why not spend some time praying and asking for opportunities and being on the lookout for them? Be willing. Selfless. God may not be calling you to risk your life in the same way as he did Priscilla and Aquila. But are there times when you hide your faith or hold back from a passing comment in order to protect your reputation or because you don't want to feel too vulnerable? Priscilla and Aquila weren't worried about feeling vulnerable. And that's something that we can all aspire to as well. And finally, instructive. Priscilla and Aquila didn't leave Apollos with incomplete information. They didn't say, "Ah, well, to each their own." They proactively went and filled in the gaps in his knowledge. Our world is filled with those with an incomplete understanding of who God is and who Jesus was. How can we help fill in those gaps? Something else for us to pray for opportunities about. As we close then, I'd like to lead us in a short prayer. Lord, fill us with your Spirit, as you did Priscilla and Aquila. Help us to be mindful, obedient, and willing to your calling. Help us to put your will before our own. And please use us to bring your word to completion and to bring illumination to those around us. Amen.